Eve, you deserve better than to find out after the fact.
Well, can you tell me in under a minute and a half?
Alyssa has found replacement pilots. She will want you and Vincent to start training them as soon as you get back. The person who is slated to take your station is an Israeli pilot.
Is he any good?
She is the best they have. I have never met her, but I have read her file. I believe you two will get along. I am more concerned with whom they found to substitute for Mr. Couture.
Who is it?
Ms. Papantonio has been, shall I say, less than forthcoming on the matter, but I have learned that a certain army pilot has just received an early release from the confinement facility at Fort Carson.
An army Ryan, you're joking.
I wish I were. Unless you can think of another reason for Mr. Mitchell to book a flight to San Juan the day of his release. I am sorry. I know this must be upsetting.
You think? How do you think Vincent's gonna react? No, Vincent, it's nothing. Well, it's not nothing. I'll tell you later, okay? She's just nuts if she thinks he's gonna train him. You were right, though. You picked one heck of a time to tell me.
I know.
Ah, shit, they're here. Gotta go.
Good luck. Ms. Resnick? Ms. Resnick, are you there?
File number 252. Interview with Alyssa Papantonio. Chief Executive Officer and Chief Science Officer, Gaia Consortium. Location. Undisclosed location, near San Juan, Puerto Rico.
She's gone. Kara's gone.
That is not true.
She's gone. Get it through your head.
You have resented her from the very beginning. It must be frustrating for you.
Don't tell me you agree with what she did. She disobeyed a direct order. If this had been the army, she'd have been court-martialed. She'd already be in jail. You know that.
Indeed. Were this the United States Army, she would most likely be dishonorably discharged after serving her sentence. Unless, of course, her orders were illegal. You had no right to ask her to walk into North Korea. I was very clear about this. No offensive action. I think we can all agree that a direct strike inside the borders of a sovereign state qualifies as offensive action. I would give Ms. Resnick a medal for standing her ground. I am much more concerned with your complete disregard for my directives.
I don't report to you. She does to me. I gave her an order. She didn't just refuse. She made a fool out of me.
You are being paranoid.
She defied me.
You were trying to start a war. Are you so egotistical to believe this was all about you?
She won't get away with this.
You do realize that you need her a lot more than she needs you.
Not for long. We're close. We're really close. Believe me, she'll never set foot in that thing again, ever.
Are you saying you have found a way to unlock the helmet?
Yes. Well, no, not exactly. I still need her head to get it working, but I think I've found a way to make the helmet believe she's still in it, even if she's not. I'm also pursuing more permanent solutions.
Could you keep it on indefinitely? I'm only asking because she might be less enthusiastic about helping if you take her pilot station away from her.
I hope so. I need more samples to find out.
You may not have noticed, but Ms. Resnick does not like to be probed.
She doesn't have a say anymore. I'll get what I need one way or another.
I am more than willing to talk to her. I can probably persuade her to undergo more testing, but you will not subject her to anything that she has not volunteered for. I hope this much is clear. There are very few certainties in this world. One of them is that you are replaceable. in this project or any other. And she is not. There is a line you cannot cross. It is very well defined. You are welcome to call me for clarification, should that line become ever so slightly blurred.
I'll run this project as I see fit. I didn't want to do this now, but it'll have to do. I spoke to the board, and it is my duty to inform you that your services will no longer be needed as of today. We appreciate everything you've done for this project. We realize we couldn't have gone this far without you, and we'll always be grateful for all your help. Security will ask you to leave your ID on your way out.
You spoke to the board?
Yes.
The board, you realize, is a low-level officer from Russian intelligence, a retired South Korean general, the son of an Arab prince, and four lawyers who represent private companies but are not allowed to tell them anything they see. If you were to write down a list of all the people who are ill-equipped to deal with the current situation, the board would undoubtedly have its name somewhere on the first page. Granted, yours would certainly appear farther down the list, but you are nonetheless incapable of facing what is bound to come very soon.
What are you talking about?
You really have no grasp of the situation, do you?
Enlighten me.
Approximately 12 days ago, you unveiled to the world, for the second time, an alien device powerful enough to tip the balance of power in any ground conflict. You marched it to the North Korean border against my specific instructions and effectively taunted the North Korean army to attack you, so you could demonstrate just how destructive that machine can be. In doing so, you have not only considerably raised tensions amongst Asian nations, but you have also antagonized the United States, and perhaps, pardon the pun, alienated forces infinitely more powerful.
We didn't do anything against the U.S. North Korea isn't exactly a friendly state.
The government of the United States spared no expense to locate and secure the pieces of that alien device. Staggering amounts of money and resources were allocated to this project. After the robot was revealed to the world, they also went to great lengths to avoid an international conflict and to ensure that, if they could not have it, no one else would. You essentially stole it from them, took it out for everyone to see, and left a hole the size of a small town along the Korean DMZ.
I didn't steal anything. It was your idea to get it from the bottom of the trench. You brought me on board long after the construction work had begun.
Since, as you emphasized, I am no longer a part of this project, it would appear that the responsibility now rests solely on your shoulders.
I only did what the board sanctioned. We had to show the world what it can do if it's going to be effective as a deterrent. Don't worry about me. I know what I'm doing.
You unfortunately do not. That much is obvious. If you had even the most basic understanding of the situation, you would not have taken her out before you knew more of what she can do, and you certainly would not have been reckless enough to bring her back here.
Where was I supposed to take it?
Perhaps the base in Russia. Anywhere but here.
The base in Russia isn't finished yet.
That is something you might have considered before you took her out for a stroll. That is definitely something you should have thought of before you took her back into United States territory on a boat. It took over a week to get back here. There is not a government on the planet that does not know exactly where the robot is. There are three countries that are part of this consortium, one of which you were already in. Yet, you chose to bring the robot back into the one country that has a legitimate claim on it. One thing is certain. You will never get it out of Puerto Rico again. I would also expect the board to react, shall we say, unfavorably to this decision, as you have effectively turned over their investment to the U.S. I spoke to the office of the president several times since the event. They were ready to declare a blockade when they realized where you were going. The only reason U.S. Marines have not already stormed this place is because they have not yet figured out why you would do something so stupid. They have, however, deployed half the Atlantic fleet around the island. The seaward boundaries of Puerto Rico extend 9 nautical miles from the shore. Believe me when I say that no one, especially Russia, will ever cross that line. Neither will you.
What about the other nations in the consortium?
The Emirates do not have boats that could come this far. If they did, they would not use them. You can also assume that South Korea will not enter U.S. coastal waters uninvited.
So what are we supposed to do?
You can either trust Russian diplomats to work out a compromise, or you can let me handle it. Either way, I hope you brought a few good books. You'll be inside this compound for a while.
I can't make that kind of decision without running it by
the board, yes. You do that. By now, Russia and Korea will have realized what you've done. But your private partners will be glad someone is there to explain to them why they are out of business.
You're loving this, aren't you?
I take no pleasure in your misfortune, Miss Papantonio.
Sure you do. You could have warned me.
Would you have listened if I had? I have explained to you several times that you could only use this weapon when absolutely necessary and only for defensive purposes. In fact, I specifically told you to ensure that your actions could never be misconstrued as offensive. That did not stop you from marching right into the Korean demilitarized zone before anyone threw so much as a rock at South Korea.
There was an immediate threat.
North Korean troops gathering. Inside North Korea. That is unheard of.
They were massing very close to the border.
North Korea is the size of Ohio. It would be geographically challenging for them to gather very far from the border.
Say what you will. You could have warned me on the way back. As you were happy to point out, we weren't exactly traveling at supersonic speed. You had more than a week to tell me to turn around.
Indeed. I chose not to.
Like I said, I don't know you very well. I know you don't like me, but I have a hard time thinking you'd purposely sabotage this entire project just for the pleasure of watching me fail. I assume this was all part of some great master plan. So how does it work? You swoop in, save the day, and you get to run this project yourself?
Rest assured, Ms. Papantonio, I have no desire to take your place. Nor do I wish to see this project fail. I do have a vested interest in the people I recruited, and their well-being is very important to me. I would like you to make peace with Ms. Resnick.
I can't help it if she won't cooperate.
She still lives in the compound, comes to work every day. She spent more than a week on a cargo ship to go to Korea on a mission that should never have happened. She has, as I understand it, set limits on the type of procedures she will allow you to perform on her body. That seems within her rights, even under these special circumstances.
You didn't always have a problem messing with another person's body against their will?
I could say the same about you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Perhaps. Were you referring to Mr. Couture's legs?
I was.
The doctor performed the surgery against his will. Mr. Couture had no reservations about the operation.
Did he even know what you were going to do to him?
He knew the alternative was to lose his legs. However painful the experience may have been for him, I believe he would choose to undergo the procedure again. In any case, if Ms. Resnick will not consent to more invasive procedures, I suggest you find a way to work with what she will consent to. In the meantime, I will go back to Washington and see if I can find a solution to your current predicament.
Thank you. I'll talk to...
To the board, yes.
I'll talk to the board about keeping you on as a consultant, but I can't promise anything.
That is very generous of you.
File number 253. Transcript. GEOINT Surveillance. KH-9 Satellite. Big Bird. National Reconnaissance Office. Chantilly, Virginia. 11:30. Movement alert. Big Bird is geostat over Puerto Rico. Now leaving watch mode. Manual tracking enabled. 11:31. Male, female, designated alpha, bravo, spotted outside compound. Heading west, on foot, along access road. 11:39. Several people exiting compound. 8 men total, all armed, wearing tactical gear. Designation, Charlie 1 through 8. 11:42. Charlie 1 through 8, entering two vehicles. Pickup trucks, parked outside compound. Vehicles heading west. 11:46. Tracking. Vehicles approaching Alpha and Bravo. Male and female leaving access road, heading north through wooded area. 11:47. Vehicle stopped. Charlie in pursuit on foot. 11:52. Bravo down. 11:53. Alpha heading north. Bravo still down. 11:54. Charlie 1 through 4 stopping near Bravo. Charlie 5 through 8 still in pursuit, heading north. 11:56. Charlie 1 through 4 carrying Bravo, possibly dead, back to vehicle. 12:01. Lost track of Alpha. Charlie 5 through 8, slowing down, splitting up into two groups. 12:08. Charlie 5 through 8, abandoning pursuit, heading back to vehicles. 12:17. Vehicles heading back to compound. 12:24. Vehicles back at compound. All occupants entering. 12:32. No further activity. Big Bird resuming watch mode. File number 254. Interview with Vincent Couture, consultant, Gaia Consortium. Location: Bar El Beatty, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Where is Ms. Resnick? I was expecting both of you.
She didn't make it.
You left her behind?
There was nothing I could do. She got hit in the back with a taser gun. I tried to help her, but they got me in the shoulder and I fell backward down the hillside. When I came to, I was a few hundred feet from the water.
They did not chase you?
I don't know. I didn't see anyone, but I didn't really stick around to find out. Maybe they were too busy restraining Kara. Maybe they don't care so much about me.
Believe me, they care very much about you. Even if Ms. Papantonio managed to get the helmets to accept other people, she would need someone to operate the legs and the console. You are the only one with a sufficient understanding of the math involved.
It's not that hard. It can be learned.
I'm certain it can, but you are also the only person whose anatomy is compatible with the controls. Anyone else would have to stand backward and face away from the console. They could use a third pilot on the other side of it, but coordinating the actions of three people when one of them is facing away does not seem like a viable solution. If they had been able to catch you, you would have been recaptured before her. She is easier to replace than you are. How did you get to San Juan?
There was a small fishing boat near the shore. I swam to it, told them I was snorkeling, and the boat I came on left without me. At least I think that's what I said. You know how good my Spanish is. Anyway, they took me to Playa Sardinera. I took a bus to get here.
Very astute of you. How did things get so bad? What happened at the compound?
We escaped.
I meant what happened before. When did you decide to escape?
Yesterday. Well, today, but it all started yesterday.
Please take me through it.
I woke up late. I didn't take a shower. I just ran downstairs for breakfast. They called her on the intercom about halfway through.
Ms. Resnick?
Yes. She said she'd be right back. She told me to make sure no one took her coffee.
Then?
Then nothing. I waited for a half hour. I went to her room, to med bay. The door was locked. I started knocking. After about 5 minutes, the door opened. Did you know that piece of shit Ryan was there?
I did.
And you didn't think that was something I might want to know?
Can we do this at another time? Ms. Resnick was in the medical bay.
Yeah. I tried to get to her. She was lying unconscious on a metal table. Her arms and legs were strapped. She must have put up one hell of a fight. Ryan's brow was cut. He must have helped to restrain her, because I don't think the two guards that were there could have handled her on their own. Alisa certainly couldn't. Ryan grabbed me. He said no one would hurt her. I didn't believe him, so I kept fighting. But he's a lot stronger than I am. Alisa was there, and she picked up something in one of the drawers, and she stabbed me in the neck with it. Next thing I know, I was in my room.
What did they do to you?
I don't know. I woke up with one hell of a headache, but not much else.
Did your back hurt?
No, not really. Why?
What kind of tests did Alisa perform on you before the mission to Korea?
She sent me to San Juan for some x-rays. She took a bunch of samples.
What kind of samples?
Everything, I guess. Blood, a lot of blood, saliva, sperm, hair. Why? What do you think she's doing?
I do not know. How did you manage to free Ms. Resnick?
I didn't free her. I think they were done with her, so they let her go. She knocked at my door.
How was she?
Pretty banged up. She was still hammered from whatever Alisa had given her. She grabbed my hand and we lay down in bed until morning. When I woke up, she was already dressed. She looked really nervous. We both knew we had to get out of there.
What was your plan?
We didn't have a plan. We just tried walking out the front door. The guards had orders not to let us through. I could tell Kara was thinking about fighting her way out. I wasn't really up to fighting four armed men. I put my hand on her shoulder to stop her. It took a few seconds, but I eventually felt her relax. Once she'd given up on the idea, we went back to my room to whip up some sort of plan.
What did you come up with?
Nothing at first. There is only one elevator shaft, and it's heavily guarded. That left only the underwater hatch and the air shafts. Neither of us knew how to ride a sub, so we gave up on that one rather quickly, and we couldn't come up with a way to climb the shafts. They're about a mile long. Then I thought, Han Solo. Han Solo, you know. If they follow standard Imperial procedure, they'll dump their garbage before they go to light speed, and then we just float away.
Is that supposed to help?
Today's garbage day. They take out the dumpsters once a week. Whatever they couldn't incinerate, metal, all kinds of scraps, and then a truck picks it up. We snuck into one of the containers and they carried us out with the rest of the trash.
I'm surprised Ms. Resnick went along with that plan.
I was too. I can't say I was too confident about it myself. The one thing we knew is that we didn't want to spend another day in there. It was just better than not trying anything at all. We got out of the dumpsters when we heard the door close and we started walking. We weren't even half a mile away when we heard the trucks they sent after us. We cut through the woods and ran as fast as we could. They caught up to us real fast. I told you the rest already. We can't leave Kara in there with that psycho.
I agree.
Okay, so what's the plan?
I have absolutely no idea.
Can't you storm the place with a platoon of Marines?
No.
Delta Force, anything?
I wish I could. I no longer have access to military personnel. As far as the United States government is concerned, I am in the proverbial doghouse for the time being.
You must have friends somewhere else.
I have connections in several countries, but if by friends you mean military-trained people who will foray into U.S. territory for a rescue mission in a hostile environment, then no, I do not have friends at the moment. I do have access to substantial amounts of money. Given enough time, I can probably assemble a team of mercenaries, but it is not something that can be done in a matter of hours, even days.
How long?
2 or 3 weeks at best.
She can't stay in there for 2 weeks. She could die today, tomorrow. She might be dead already.
There is time. They will not kill her. This might sound insensitive, but she is too valuable an asset to risk permanently damaging her. Her stay will involve some unpleasantries, I am sure. Ms. Papantonio will do everything in her power to discover what makes her special. But she will not kill her.
I know Alyssa won't kill her on purpose, but you know Kara. She can get a rise out of anyone. I'm worried she might do something stupid. I'm sure the guards were told not to harm her, but they won't just stand there while she beats the crap out of them. There are a lot of guns in there, people on edge. A lot of things can go wrong.
I suggest you accompany me back to the United States. We may be able to convince the office of the president that it is in their best interest to help.
What do you need me for?
I will be arrested the minute I step through the White House gate. If they decide to let me sit in a cell for a few days, you can deliver the message yourself.
They won't lock you up before they hear what you have to say. You go! You convince them we need their help. I'll stay behind and see what I can do from here.
What could you possibly do? You do not know anyone, and you do not speak the language. Where will you hide?
Nowhere. You're right. I'd have a hard time ordering coffee out here. I'll go back. I think they'll let me in.
They will lock you in a room and never let you out.
I don't think so. I'll tell them I realized that this project is all I have, that I have nowhere to go. They probably won't trust me at first. I mean, it's too obvious. But if I keep it up, they'll want to trust me. It would be too convenient for them if I really wanted back in. It'll be impossible to resist. I'm pretty sure they'll give it a shot.
If they do fall for this rather patent subterfuge, what will you do then?
Wait for the cavalry. Make sure nothing happens to Kara.
And if I were to be unsuccessful? You will have risked your life and lost your freedom again. For nothing.
I'll find a way. Maybe. I'll try to come up with something better than hiding in the trash. I'll try to find out what Alyssa has up her sleeve. I mean, if she's willing to treat us like prisoners, she can't really expect us to cooperate that much. She must be really close. Maybe she has something working already.
Before she evicted me from the premises, she suggested she might have found a way to keep the helmets working after you turned them on. She made it sound more like a project than something functional.
I doubt that. She has a big ego, but if you were that close, wouldn't you step on your pride for a few more days rather than risk everything on a bet? And that can't be all of it. She couldn't keep the helmets turned on forever. She'd still need us to start her up from time to time. It would need to be something we don't have to do voluntarily. It's hard enough to get up there as it is. I can't imagine trying to bring up someone who doesn't want to go.
Please forget about the investigation and focus on finding a way to escape again. I am worried that Alyssa may not be the only imminent threat to your life and that of Ms. Resnick. The cavalry, as you called it, might do more harm than good.
Do I want to know?
There are a lot of moving parts to this plan. The United States government might simply decide to cut its losses and neutralize the threat.
You mean blow us all to pieces?
Nothing so dramatic. The public might frown upon the United States carpet bombing a national park in Puerto Rico.
Well, that's reassuring. You had me worried there for a second.
I would surmise that a few well-placed torpedoes near the Sealock chamber would prove just as effective.
Nice. If it breached, we'd all drown within seconds and no one would have to know.
Do you wish to reconsider your decision to return?
I can't leave Kara down there. Besides, just in case there is an afterlife, I don't want to spend eternity hearing how I let her drown alone in Puerto Rico.
File number 255. Interview with Mr. Burns. Occupation unknown. Location: New Dynasty Chinese Restaurant, DuPont Circle, Washington, D.C.
I am on my way to the White House.
I know. That's exciting. And yet you wanted to have lunch. You must be famished.
Time is of the essence, so I will not waste it with pleasantries. I need your help.
You? Asking for help? You really can't think straight on an empty stomach, and you haven't eaten since you left San Juan.
Do I dare ask how you know so much about my whereabouts?
Funny, isn't it?
What?
How strange this must be for you. You're usually the one who knows things he shouldn't about other people.
Perhaps. But everyone can guess as to how I am privy to such information. It seems logical to assume that you and I do not frequent the same circles, which would suggest a vast network of information that no one is aware of.
I'll take that as a compliment coming from someone who specializes in vast networks of information no one is aware of. Did I ever tell you the story of the fisherman?
No, you have not, and you will not. I do not have time for stories or colorful metaphors. What I require of you now are facts and expediency. If you are unable or unwilling to oblige, please do not delay me any further.
No stories, then. But it's your loss. It was a good one. I should be on my way.
Please stay. If you are concerned by recent events in North Korea, I can assure you I did everything in my power to prevent them.
Me? Concerned? If you knew what I've seen in the last years, you'd know it takes a lot more than that to worry me. Please, don't take this as a personal insult. It's not. But I may have overestimated you. I really thought you understood. I wouldn't have come forward otherwise. I'm sorry.
What exactly have I so miserably failed to grasp?
I don't know where to start. Oh, yes, I do. First, it's not about you, you arrogant prick. In the grand scheme of things, no one gives a damn what you approve of, don't approve of, what you try to prevent or what you have for breakfast. This is a grand scheme of things. Thing. Second, it's not about me, either. I'm flattered if you're looking for my personal approval, but it doesn't matter much in the end. They are worried. That's your problem.
I fully realize the extent of my insignificance in history, believe me. I have yet to form an opinion on the extent of yours. I suspect your place in it is more considerable than you would like me to believe. Before you judge me, and by extension all of us, You must understand that while I would do everything I can not to antagonize technologically superior beings and risk a conflict of apocalyptic proportions in a near or distant future, my first duty is to ensure that this discovery does not lead to pandemonium in the here and now.
Of course! You have a job to do. You don't need to justify yourself to me.
Good evening, gentlemen. Are you ready to order?
I will have the Kung Pao chicken and a cooling tea.
I'll have the same. Yeah, maybe there's hope for you after all.
Will you help me?
I would love to help you with something fun, but you don't like fun. You want to talk about things like doomsday, humanity's final judgment. Those are not fun. Why don't we do something that will help you relax? Have you ever built a shed? It's like building a tiny house. We can build one in a day, and you'll feel this incredible sense of pride when we're done.
I feel the situation slipping from my control.
You know what your problem is, don't you? You place the fate of an entire planet squarely on your shoulders. Do you have any idea what that'll do to your health?
Oh, please.
Would it make you feel any better if I told you that you're not responsible for what happens in the end?
Do you know what happens? Do not make me beg.
I know how hard this must be for you, but you have to work on your facial expression. You can't say something like that with a poker face. How about this? I have absolutely no idea, honestly, what you can do to prevent all-powerful aliens from coming to this planet. I do not know that they are, either. Beyond that, you should, by now, have begun to realize that I've already told you a lot more than I should have. What I really want you to understand, and that part may be a little more difficult to grasp, is that I can only make things worse by telling you more.
Is there not a chance that they have simply forgotten about us?
Not one. If there's one thing they're good at, it's record-keeping. You're also very interesting at the moment. From an evolutionary perspective, most of the systems they are overseeing are either close enough to them to appear mundane, or at the earliest stages of their development, often without any sentient life or even complex organisms. Your coming of age is a rare event, a very exciting and important one. You can take my word when I say they are keeping a close eye on you.
Our coming of age?
Yes. This, all that's happening now, this is your bat mitzvah. You can play with atoms. You can sit with the grown-ups.
What does that mean for us?
That means you won't be forgiven your childhood mistakes anymore.
How can we be accountable for our actions if we do not know what is expected of us?
Nothing is expected of you. As I said, they're not colonizers. The last thing they want is to interfere.
I do not understand. They do not want us to kill one another using the weapon they left for us, yet we have been doing it for millennia using our own weaponry, and they did not raise an eyebrow.
They don't have eyebrows. A very resilient genetic trait, as you can see.
Nonetheless, can you tell me where the distinction lies?
There's no distinction. They don't care whether you kill one another with a stick or with something they built. They don't even care whether or not you kill one another. They will be perfectly content to watch humanity destroy itself completely. Your extinction is not the issue.
So we need to demonstrate that we can be responsible with this newly acquired power, or they will come and take it away. Is that correct?
If they decide that you're not ready, yes. They'll either take it back, or they'll send you back to the Stone Age and let you mature for a few millennia.
How many robots would they send? should they decide to annihilate us.
They don't need to send any robots. They could wipe you out from orbit. But I suppose if they did, half a dozen would suffice. 100 would be quicker. 1,000, yeah, you get the picture.
Would we stand a chance in combat with our robot?
I don't think so. You have to remember the one you have is 6,000 years old. It's an antique. You never know, though. You might get lucky. Their weapons might have evolved considerably, but they're still fundamentally the same. Focused energy. What they have now will do more or less the same thing yours can, just more of it.
So, the safest course of action would be to do nothing and hope for mercy, is that it?
I hope not. I think you should fight your heart out. If they decide to get rid of all humans and start over, they'll do it no matter what you do. If it were me, I'd rather go out swinging.
I do not believe our robot could be victorious in a sword fight. Not with our pilots.
Eh, you're probably right. I would fight from a distance.
How can we, when all we have is a sword?
A sword? You didn't destroy Denver International with a sword!
So, the energy burst is a weapon. We believed it might be a byproduct of the material used to construct the device. It may be my underdeveloped cerebrum, but I fail to see how an omnidirectional burst of energy with a very limited range could allow us to fight from a distance.
Nice try. You'll have to figure that one out yourself. I've really said all I can. You should go to your meeting. I'll get the check.
If I may ask, why are you helping us? Is that not against the rules?
I'm just an old man who likes to tell stories. I can't help it if you're crazy enough to believe them.
But why? Why not let them deal with us as they see fit?
I live here. I know people. Good. People, I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
I am well aware that you were born here and that you are human for the most part. You won't tell us how to fight them, but you tell us we should. You speak of them as they, not as we, which suggests some ambivalence. But there is something more. I sense an emotion I am familiar with when you speak of your ancestry. I cannot quite put my finger on it. Anger, perhaps. Resentment.
That's a lot to read into the choice of a pronoun.
They abandoned you here, did they not?
I was born in Michigan.
Your ancestors. They left your ancestors here with no instructions other than to blend in as much as possible. They left highly evolved people. They would have been some sort of scientists, the elite, alone with primitive, half-clothed people who probably had not even invented the wheel. Centuries spent longing for what must have seemed like the most basic necessities. Having children, but knowing they will never be all that they can. Because you will teach them to be ordinary. I can only imagine what I might feel, but rancor does come to mind.
Nice speech. You're right about one thing. You have no idea what these people went through or what they could possibly have felt. I will say one more thing before you go. Stop worrying so much. Are you doing your best?
I fear my best may not be enough.
Then you should come to peace with whatever comes. All you can do is try your best. Go now. Next time, you're the one buying lunch, and you have to hear that story about the fisherman and the seagull. By the way, you owe me a favor. A big one.
For your advice?
No.
Then I do not see how I am indebted.
You'll see. But you definitely owe me. Remember that.
File number 256. Mission Log. CW2, Ryan Mitchell, United States Army. Location. Undisclosed location, near San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Where are you now, Mr. Mitchell?
In Alyssa's office. I broke in to get her sat phone and her keys. You have to help me, sir, please. I have to get her out of there. Can you help me?
I assume you are referring to Ms. Resnick. Is she in imminent danger?
She's in Medbay 1 with Alyssa. They're doing things to her, sir.
Who is?
Alyssa, she's... Look, there's no time to explain everything. I need to get her out of there now. Can you send in troops?
There is already a platoon of Marines on site, but they will not breach. They will not risk it without knowing what they are up against.
I can tell you. Just tell them to breach. I'll tell you everything they need to know. They need to hurry.
Mr. Mitchell, the Marines are not there at my request. And they are not there to help you. They are there to arrest you. You and everyone in that base.
What? I don't care. Tell them to breach. Tell them to arrest us. We need to get to Karen now.
I am wanted for treason. You, Ms. Resnick, Mr. Couture, we are all traitors in the eyes of the United States government.
Then why not breach and arrest us all?
I can only speculate, Mr. Mitchell, but if I were in charge, I would not risk the life of my men by walking into a possibly hostile environment with a single point of entry, especially when you have no way out.
What are you saying, sir?
I am saying that if you want the Marines to come in, you will need to open the door for them.
I can do that.
I was being facetious. There are over a dozen armed men protecting that base. Most of them are ex-military. They will not hesitate to shoot you.
I'm telling you, sir, I can do it. I can secure the base.
Do you have the key to the armory?
I'm on my way there now. Sir?
Yes, Mr. Mitchell.
I know that if you had your way, I'd still be rotting at Fort Carson. I'm sorry, sir. I know it doesn't mean anything, but I'm sorry for what I did. I just wanted to say it. I'm at the armory, looking for the key. This has got to be it.
Have you ever fired at anyone?
Not with a gun, sir, but I'm not going to kill anyone.
You will not be able to simply disarm a dozen men on your own.
Look, sir, I got myself into this mess because I almost killed Vincent. I'm not going to try and fix this by killing a bunch of people.
Mr. Mitchell, listen to me.
It's okay, sir. I found what I was looking for. I remembered they keep X-rep rounds to get rid of trespassers on the surface.
I know very little about firearms. What is an X-rep?
They're less than lethal bullets that deliver an electric shock. They're mini tasers you can fire with a shotgun. Very expensive little things. Anyway, there must be more somewhere, but I found 3 boxes of these and 2 shotguns. I'll just grab a few stun grenades and a lot of tie wraps.
Tie wraps? Mr. Mitchell, I strongly urge you...
You're right, sir. I can't do this alone.
Where are you going?
Living quarters. There should be no more than 1 guard at the door. I just hope I can do this quietly. I need to stop talking now.
Mr. Mitchell? Are you there?
I am. I tried to knock the guard out, but I caught him in the back of the neck. I had hit him again. Now, if I can just find the right key, unless... Yes, good man. He had it around his neck.
The key to what?
Now, this guy's not going to be happy to see me. Hi, I need your help. Don't stop. Would you stop fighting? I need your help. Kara's in trouble. Kara's in trouble, and I need your help to get her out. You can either trust me and help me or go back to your room, but I'll need to knock you out, too, if you keep making this much noise.
Who are you talking to? Mr. Couture? Tell him I was unsuccessful. Tell him the cavalry is not coming.
He says the cavalry isn't coming. You know who. Him. Now, can you shut the hell up for a minute? Okay, help me drag this guy in here. Now, take this key and lock every door in this corridor. They lock from the outside. There are 12 more guards on base. If we're lucky, a couple of them are still in their rooms.
Is Mr. Couture unharmed?
Yeah, he's fine. Well, he seems fine to me. He's a lot stronger than I remember him to be. Are you done?
Are you talking to me?
Now, here's what we're going to do. Take these and put them in your pocket. I know they're tie wraps. Take this gun. No, I don't want you to shoot anyone. I want you to give it to me when I run out of shells and reload the one I give you. This is a Mossberg 500. It holds 5 shells in the magazine tube. You put them in like this. There's room for 1 more in the chamber here. No, Vincent, we're not going to kill anyone. These are non-lethal bullets. Are you good? Can you do this? Good. Now load yours.
Mr. Couture has received no military training. He may get you both captured or killed.
He'll be fine. No, Vincent, you're doing great. One more. That's it. The machine shop is locked at this hour. C-lock and the power plant are closed. That means all the guards should be at the entrance or in the main hallway. Look in the bag. These are stun grenades. When we get to the hallway, I'll need you to grab two of these. Remove the pin here, count to three, and throw them as far as you can away from us. That should disorient however many guards are there for a few seconds. Hopefully, that'll be long enough for me to shoot them. Then you follow me in, and you tie the guards' hands together with Tyra. No, that's not it. I wish it were. Those grenades will make a lot of noise. The shotgun, too. Whoever isn't in that hallway, and the guards at the entrance, they'll either wait for us or they'll come for us. Whatever happens, we'll have to improvise a bit. If you need to, you just shoot, then pump, then shoot, then pump. Just like in the movies.
Mr. Mitchell, I could not help but overhear your plan, or lack thereof. Are you sure you do not wish to reconsider your choice of weapon? Need I remind you that the guards you are so intent on keeping alive are using live ammunition?
I'm well aware of that part. Vincent, are you ready for this? Cool. Just stay behind me. We're at the corner to the main hallway. I see two men talking along the wall, two more sitting at a table. No, make that three. Take the stun grenades out of the bag. Remember, count to three, then throw them away. Try to throw one as far right as you can. Oh, and don't look. On my count, three, two, one. Now! One guard. Two. Vincent, come on. Three. Four. Five. No, come on, stop moving. Five. Okay, Vincent, tie them up. No, not like that. Hands behind the back. Like that. Don't be afraid to pull. You want this to be tight. Five guards down, plus one at Vincent's door. There's one guard with Alyssa in medbay. That leaves anywhere from zero to five guards at the main entrance. Vincent, give me your shotgun and get down!
Mr. Mitchell, are you hit?
There was a guard in the bathroom. He went back in when he heard me scream. Vincent, give me the gun and grab a grenade from the bag. Whenever you're ready. Five, four, three. Hi there, you probably can't hear me, but my friend here is going to tie your hands behind your back. If you move, I'll have to shoot you, so... don't move. Tie him up, Vincent. Go! Go! We're done here. That leaves the main entrance. Vincent, get a grenade from the bag. Let's go. Chances are they'll start shooting at us as soon as I open this door. Get the grenade ready. And here goes. Vincent, don't pull the pin! Shit! Quick! Throw it in the bathroom! Go! Go!
What is happening, Mr. Mitchell? Talk to me!
There are only two guards at the main entrance. They have their guns on the floor and their hands up in the air. I guess a few of them were still in their rooms. Hi, guys. Yeah, I didn't sign up for this either. Would you mind putting your hands behind your back so my friend here can restrain you? It's only for a few minutes, then the Marines will storm in, and they'll cuff you all over again. Vincent, hurry! We're a few steps from medbay. There should be one guard with Alyssa. Vincent, do you want to do the honors? Just throw your grenade in there and disarm the guard. Kara's sedated and strapped on the table. I don't think you can disorient her any more than she is. Here you go. Get in there. I told you he'd be fine, sir. You should know the kid was smiling through most of it. I think he might have taken a little pride in improving his tie-wrap technique. I just hope he doesn't figure out what was going on in there.
Are you referring to the tissue samples Mrs. Papantonio was collecting?
She's not collecting tissue, sir. That's why I called you. I swear, I had no idea what she was doing when I signed up. I just thought I could help.
I believe you. Now, tell me what you witnessed.
Well, you know... Alyssa's been collecting samples from Kara and Vincent. Blood, skin, bodily fluids. When I went to see her this morning, she had Kara in a... she didn't have any pants on. I asked what was going on, and she told me she was removing eggs from Kara's ovaries.
Is that what prompted your rebellion?
I wasn't finished. She told me she'd attempt in vitro fertilization the next day. Could she do that, sir?
My understanding of IVF is very limited, but I do not believe she has the necessary equipment. She does have access to cryogenic material, however. She could freeze the ova and semen samples from Mr. Couture. She would need to take them to a clinic outside the compound. The eggs and semen would then be thawed. Those that survive the process could be fertilized and left to develop for a few days. Most clinics will now perform what is known as a blastocyst transfer. A blastocyst is an embryo in which cell division has occurred enough times in the first few days. The embryos that have reached that stage can be transferred into a host after 5 days with a reasonable chance of success.
You mean into another woman?
That is correct.
That's insane.
Indeed. Your decision to intervene was timely.
I would never have agreed to help her if I'd known. You know that, sir, don't you?
I do, and you have told me already.
Vincent's back with Kara. Hello, Sleeping Beauty. What do you mean she's not there?
Miss Resnick is gone.
No, Alyssa is. Are you sure you checked everywhere? I know it's a small room. Look, Kara can barely stand. Why don't you guys go sit over there? I don't know what to say, sir. We've been pretty much everywhere. She was here 20 minutes ago. Unless she went in one of the guards' rooms, we should have run into her. It's not like she can get out.
Perhaps she can. As she did supervise the construction of that complex.
I gotta look for her.
Let the Marines do it. Ms. Resnick may need immediate medical attention. You should let the Marines in now.
I will in a minute. I gotta tell them about what Alyssa's doing.
You will do no such thing. Both of them have been through enough already. You will not add to their ordeal by telling them about a situation they can do nothing about.
Sir, they could have a child a year from now and not know about it.
They could have a dozen. You will say nothing to them, Mr. Mitchell. Do you understand?
Sir, they have a right to know.
They do. I will tell them when the time comes.
Do I have your word on that?
You do. Now, open the door and let the Marines in.
Okay. I'm getting on the elevator now. What'll happen to us when they come in?
They will cuff you. They will most likely separate you until you all have been debriefed. I suspect it will be a thorough debriefing. After that, I do not know. At best, you will go back to Fort Carson to finish your sentence. At worst, we will all receive a lethal injection.
What should I tell them?
Unfortunately, there is very little the United States government does not know at this point. What you say or do not say will be of no consequence. Make this easy on yourself and tell them what they want to hear.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for everything. I've unlocked the main door. Here goes nothing. Hi, guys. Welcome to Puerto Rico. Ouch! Come on, I just secured the whole place for you, shithead. Does it have to be so tight? Ah, come on, man, that hurts!
File number 257. Interview with Inez Tabib, Assistant to the President for National Security Affairs. Location, White House, Washington, D.C.
Do you have anything to say before I have you arrested and tried for treason?
I fail to see the point, but I am happy to let you posture for a short while. How are Ms. Resnick and Mr. Couture doing?
Your pilots are still in Puerto Rico being debriefed. They're fine. You can all stand trial as a happy family.
You and I both know I will not stand trial. Justice is usually much swifter for someone in my trade. It comes unannounced, usually from behind, and, as far as I know, it's never prefaced by a meeting at the White House. What happened? Did the President stop you herself, or did someone else intervene when you tried to have me arrested? You are relatively new to this line of work, so I would presume that having me killed would not be your first choice.
She said she would handle it personally. How did you know?
I did not. It seemed like a logical explanation.
You find this logical? You use U.S. funds to finance this project. U.S. helicopters, drones, American troops to locate and retrieve all the pieces of this machine from all over the world, illegally, I might add, killing several American citizens and foreign nationals in the process. You assemble it on U.S. soil, use American scientists on the U.S. government payroll to figure out how it works, in an American base, of course, a base that you later destroy, bringing this country to the brink of war. At your suggestion, the President of the United States then agrees to drop this machine into the ocean, a measure you yourself described as temporary. Then you turn around and give it to Russia and the UAE. Does that about sum it up? What part of this does not constitute treason from your perspective?
Which question should I answer first?
Answer whichever you like.
No.
No, you don't want to answer?
No is the answer to your first question.
Which was?
Does that about sum it up? It does not.
What did I miss?
The first part of your statement, however redundant and melodramatic, was generally accurate. Aside from the individuals who were directly involved in this project, the United States is mostly responsible for its success. As